You're listening to Eagle Wings Online Radio, your messianic Christian music alternative.
Like what we do? Share this on your socials and tell everyone.
We hope you get blessed by this narrated sermon podcast from Pastor Chris.
Document title, Uncommon Grace. Uncommon Grace. Today, I bring you a message that keeps on coming back, especially in times when we've been overly busy, not doing well, or overly worried. God's grace is sufficient, we always say, but the question is, do we just say that, or do we truly walk in that faith? We need that faith. We need that grace. We need that understanding that God's grace is sufficient. It is special. It is not something ordinary. It is very uncommon. And with that, we know our title for today, Uncommon Grace. Originally, this came from a series I did titled, How Many, What is the Price? But for today, let's focus on grace. We will be reading several passages from the Gospel of John, chapter 15. John chapter 15, verses 1 to 10, Amplified Bible. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Any branch in me that does not bear fruit, that stops bearing. He cuts away, trims off, takes away, and he cleanses and repeatedly prunes every branch that continues to bear fruit, to make it bear more and richer and more excellent fruit. You are cleansed and pruned already because of the word which I have given you, the teachings I have discussed with you. Dwell in me, and I will dwell in you. Live in me, and I will live in you. Just as no branch can bear fruit of itself without abiding in, being vitally united to, the vine, neither can you bear fruit unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever lives in me and I in him bears much abundant fruit. However, apart from me, cut off from vital union with me, you can do nothing. If a person does not dwell in me, he is thrown out like a broken off branch and withers. Such branches are gathered up and thrown into the fire, and they are burned. If you live in me, abide vitally united to me, and my words remain in you and continue to live in your hearts, ask whatever you will, and it shall be done for you. When you bear, produce much fruit, my Father is honored and glorified, and you show and prove yourselves to be true followers of mine. I have loved you just as the Father has loved me. Abide in my love, continue in his love with me. If you keep my commandments, if you continue to obey my instructions, you will abide in my love and live on in it, just as I have obeyed my Father's commandments and live on in his love. John chapter 15, verses 11 to 13, Amplified Bible. I have told you these things, that my joy and delight may be in you, and that your joy and gladness may be of full measure and complete and overflowing. This is my commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you. No one has greater love, no one has shown stronger affection than to lay down, give up his own life for his friends. John chapter 15, verses 16 and 19, Amplified Bible. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and I have appointed you, I have planted you, that you might go and bear fruit and keep on bearing, and that your fruit may be lasting, that it may remain. Abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, as presenting all that I am, he may give it to you. If you belong to the world would treat you with affection and would love you as its own. But because you are not of the world, no longer one with it, but I have chosen, selected you out of the world hates, detests you. John chapter 15, verses 26 to 27, Amplified Bible. But when the Comforter, Counselor, Helper, Advocate, Intercessor, Strengthener, Standby, comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of Truth, who comes proceeds from the Father, he himself will testify regarding me. But you also will testify and be my witnesses, because you have been with me from the beginning. Churches have gone through many struggles and many battles. Many times I became discouraged and didn't want to fight Jesus's fight anymore. But it was always the Lord who pointed out to me that everything is about relationships and grace. I read a lot of books. I love to read. In the past, I believe that on average, I bought at least 3 books a month. And then, of course, we borrowed from the library, forgot to bring them back on time, paid the fines, and so on. Within our household, that meant at least 1 book a month per person was being read. At this moment, I know there are still at least 4 books I need to finish, and I'm reading bits and pieces out of at least 3 of them. At a certain moment, somewhere around 2005, after an unfortunate misunderstanding and cultural shock, I threw 1 book aside, which was probably the most foolish thing I could have done at that time. This book was titled Uncommon Graces, written by John Vorter. After picking it back up, it resulted in this sermon, together with Secrets of the Vine from Bruce Wilkinson, and the simplicity of faith and everlasting love of Jesus, expressed through the music and lyrics of Darlene Zechech and the worship of Hillsong. Why are there so many disputes in the world? Can you answer this? I don't believe so. It started already with Adam and Eve, when Adam accepted the apple given to him in deceit, followed by Cain and Abel. It is the everlasting story, followed by wrongdoing, or most often not even that, but by misunderstanding or misinterpretation. We have a dispute. Now, how are we dealing with this? Jesus gave us guidelines on how to deal with situations like this in Matthew chapter 18, verses 15 to 18, New International Version, 1984. If your brother sins against you, go and show him his fault, just between the two of you. If he listens to you, you have won your brother over. But if he will not listen, take 1 or 2 others along, so that every matter may be established by the testimony of 2 or 3 witnesses. If he refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if he refuses to listen even to the church, treat him as you would a pagan or a tax collector. I tell you the truth, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Sometimes it is hard, or even more difficult, but when dealing with situations in this way, we are not dealing with judgment, but with grace. Isn't it also true that we are saved from judgment by grace? We, as sinners, yes, the saints of God, are sinners just like anybody else. If we do not deal with our disputes in the way Jesus has described, it will infect the vineyard, and it will kill everything. In our church, we saw the same. People had disputes they could not settle or understand from the opposite party's point of view. There was no grace, there was no love anymore. People ended up in bickering and wrongdoings. The church was left with a few coming together weekly and stepping up a little more, continuing to serve the Lord, each at their own pace and belief structure. Was this fun? No, of course not. Was it right? A difficult question, but I think yes, it was one of those uncommonly available graces that saved the church. The people would never have been able to fully restore their relationships as before. Does it hurt? Yes, naturally. A couple of years ago, I took a chainsaw and cut a branch from a big wide tree, exposing the wood from the inside to the open air. Now, after a few years, you can see that the bark has grown a little over the edge of the wound to cover it up so the tree would not die of infection, because just under the bark is where the tree lives. Jesus' love is like that bark. It uses the pain and suffering we've endured as an experience, so that we no longer hurt from it, but instead use it to deal with future situations in better ways. Jesus gave us a promise that I've been repeating frequently in recent years in Matthew chapter 18, verse 20, Common English Bible. For where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there with them. When we deal with our situations in the way Jesus described to us in John chapter 15 and Matthew chapter 18, verses 15 to 20, then we are continuously coming together in His name, and He will be there with us. I don't know about you, but I've been blessed many times within the last year. Receiving a blessing is like working in the vineyard. It doesn't happen by itself. We must do something for it. We must open our hearts so that the love of the vine can flow through to the branches. You might say, "Hey, what do you mean? I thought we were the workers in the vineyard." Yes, we are that too. Our pay has already been handed to us, but for now, we focus on the branches so we can be ready to work hard, to grow, and to bear fruit. That means being healthy Christians, healthy saints of God, ready to bear fruit. In other words, ready to be Christians covered with those unfortunately so scarcely issued, so uncommon graces. Ready to usher new people into our church and grow first by 10%, then by 20%, and so on each year. I especially love the comparison of the vineyard, as well as that of the potter and the clay. I'm not a gardener, but in my home country, they call it training, leading the branches of the vine into the right position and direction. This means trimming, bending, shaping, all done so that the vine will bear more fruit. Grace, true, uncommon grace, is not the absence of hardship, but the presence of God in it. It is that mysterious power that allows us to see the pruning as purpose, the cutting as cultivation, and the pain as preparation. When Jesus says, "Abide in me," He calls us into that continual flow of divine nourishment that only grace can sustain. Uncommon grace is the breath of the Spirit in our failures, the whisper of love in our brokenness, and the steady hand of the vine dresser shaping our souls toward fruitfulness. It is not deserved, yet it is freely given. It is not visible to the proud, yet it is life to the humble. As believers, we are both the branches and the laborers in His vineyard. To walk in uncommon grace is to accept His pruning, to trust His timing, and to rejoice in His presence. It is the antidote to bitterness, the cure for division, and the fragrance of heaven on earth. May we therefore live as those who have been touched by this grace, extending it to others, forgiving as we have been forgiven, and bearing fruit that remains. For in that abiding love, the Church of Christ finds its healing, its purpose, and its everlasting joy. Many times, God's grace comes to us covered in a way we cannot see. We are looking for miracles, and we are like horses in front of a carriage, wearing blinders so that they are not distracted by anything other than what's directly in front of them. Amen.
Be sure to share the podcast on your favorite social media channels.